Now we have come to the next major division here, and God does not test faith with evil. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Now, a great many people like to say, well, the Lord tested me. Friends, when it wasn't the Lord testing you at all. And James is going to make it very clear, in fact, abundantly clear. And listen to him now at verse 13. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. Now, this is temptation to do evil. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Now, James makes it very clear that God never tests man with evil and sin. And if you want probably a more literal translation of this first statement, listen to this. Let not one man being tempted say, I'm tempted of God. And if you'll notice, he doesn't use the noun temptation. It's now the verb, the action, if you please. And the natural propensity and bent of mankind is to blame God for every fumble, all of his foibles, all of his faults and failures and filth, and even the fall. From the very beginning it was so. You remember Adam said, the woman whom thou gavest me. Now, he was really passing the buck there. And the woman, she did the same thing. She said, the serpent beguile me. Well, may I say to you, all three were responsible for that matter. And today you hear questions like this. Why does God send floods and earthquakes and kills babies? And we blame God today for the greed and the avarice and the selfishness of mankind. That's what sends floods and earthquakes. Men build too close to a river. And then when the river gets up, they say they're having a flood. That's the way the river runs, you see. It's more pleasant to build by a river. It's near transportation, and it's where business is, and it's actually the greed and avarice of men that build down where it's really dangerous to build. God has given a warning on that sort of thing, and yet men pay no attention. Let me bring it closer to home. Now, if you're going to live in Southern California, I want to say to you, you're going to take a chance on an earthquake. You can be sure of that. We had a small one the other evening. My wife and I were sitting in the den, and I was rocking, as I generally do, and she said, didn't you feel that earthquake? She was on the couch there. And I said, no, I didn't feel it. She says, well, there was one. Well, the seismologists, they say that there's a big one that's coming out here. And yet, people are still living in Southern California, and they're still putting up high-rise buildings. Now, don't blame God if a slab of concrete falls off one of these high-rise buildings and kills one of your loved ones. Don't blame God for that. It'd be much safer on the wide open spaces of Texas. I'm a Texan who wants to go back there. That's where I lived as a boy. I don't want to go back there. I know it's better now than it was when I was just a kid growing up. But I want to say to you, I'm staying. But I'm not going to blame God when people live here and the earthquake comes. The warning has already been sent out. Now, men today with their philosophies, they blame God. Pantheism, for instance, says this, everything is God, but good is God's right hand and evil is his left hand. Well, God's no extremist. He's neither a rightist or a leftist, I can tell you that. And fatalism says that everything's running like blind necessity. If there is a God, what happened? He wound this thing up like an 8-day clock and then he went off and left. And materialism, its explanation is this. What's the problem with the human race? Well, the loftiest aspirations and the vilest passions are the natural metabolism of a physical organism. May I say to you? That's their explanation of it. Well, God's answered it. For God cannot be tempted with evil. There's no evil in God. All is goodness, all is light, and all is right. You remember how John put it in his first epistle? 1 John 1:5, this then is the message which we've heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, that is, he's holy, and in him is no darkness at all. And the Lord Jesus made this very interesting statement, the prince of this world cometh and he find nothing in me. And friends, that means there's nothing in him. Every time he gets around me, he always finds something. Let me now introduce something that's theological, and you'll differ with this because I gave this when we were in the Gospel of Matthew. But will you listen to this? Jesus could not sin. And somebody says, why was he tempted? Well, he said in Matthew 4:7, Jesus said unto him, to Satan, now it's written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now, God wants to save from sin, and he does not tempt you to sin. He wants to deliver man, and he never uses sin as a test. Now, he will permit it, as we shall see it in a moment, but he does not use it at all. And the Lord Jesus had no sin in him. Prince of this world cometh, founded nothing in him. Now, somebody says, then why was he tempted? Well, I'll tell you why I think he was tempted, to prove that there was nothing in him. After he lived a life down here 33 years, Satan came with this temptation, a temptation that appeals to man's total personality, the physical side, the mental side, and the spiritual side of man. Now, the Lord Jesus could not fall, and the testing was given to demonstrate that he could not fall. Because if he could, any moment there, your salvation, mine's in doubt. Because the minute he yields, then we have no Savior, you see. And it was to prove that he could not. Let me illustrate that now with my very homely illustration, and I mean homely. I'm going back to West Texas. I lived there when I was a boy. My dad built cotton gins for the Murray Gin Company all over West Texas in those early days. And I can remember as a boy that we lived in a little town that was right near the, I guess, the West Branch. Not sure whether it's West or East Branch of the Brazos River. And in summertime, there wasn't enough water in that river to rust a shingle nail. But when it began to rain in wintertime, you could have floated a battleship on it. And during one of those floods, the Santa Fe Railroad that crossed right there near this little town, why, the bridge washed out. It was a wooden bridge. They put in a steel bridge. And that always gave to us in the town something to do, to go down and watch them build that bridge. And then they finished it, and they brought in two locomotives and put both locomotives on top of the bridge, and they tied down the whistles. And all of us that lived in that little town, my, when we heard two whistles, we knew that was something. We all ran down to see what it was, all 23 of us. And when we got down there, why, one of the brave citizens of the little town asked the engineer there, said, what are you doing? Well, the engineer said, we built this bridge, we're testing it. And the man says, why, do you think it'll fall down? And this engineer drew himself up to his full height, and he says, of course it will not fall down. Well, then he says, why are you putting out locomotives on? He says, we are proving it won't fall down. Jesus was tested to prove that you and I had a Savior who could not sin. God can't be tempted with sin. And God won't tempt you with sin at all. Now, he permits it. Take, for instance, David. It says in 2 Samuel, the 24th chapter, verse 1. It says, and again the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. And frankly, that was sinful. Now, somebody says, well, then God did then tempt him with evil. No. You need to get always in the Bible the full story. And in 1 Samuel, you have man's viewpoint of it. From man's viewpoint, it looked as if God was angry with Israel and he just had David do this. Oh, no, no. We're told over in 1 Chronicles, this is from God's viewpoint, in the 21st chapter, 1 Chronicles, verse 1 says, and Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. Now, who was it that did it? Satan was the one, and God merely permitted him to do it because of his anger against Israel, because of their sin. But God never tempts men with evil. Now, who is it that's responsible then for our propensity to evil? What causes us to sin? Must be a cause. Well, somebody says, well, you just called attention to it. It's the devil. Well, that's not what this passage of Scripture says.